أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers of Islam, as many of you are well aware of, we have quite a few people who are preparing to go out to Chicago to participate in the conference that's being held out there. We have people from our school, the IDS, that is in dire need of your support and your assistance, who have rented a bus in order to take some of our young brothers out there to Chicago in order to meet the people of knowledge who have come from all over the world to give the dawah to this kitab and this sunnah. And we have brothers as well as sisters from this community who are preparing after this trip to Chicago, Illinois. Insha'Allah ta'ala, they're going to go next week to Detroit, Michigan, likewise, to participate in another conference that's calling to the dawah of the kitab and the sunnah with the understanding of the sahaba. This fact in and of itself is a clear proof of what we've been saying over and over again, and I reiterate here today that this community in East Orange, New Jersey, and this area in general, they have, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, they've been progressing, no doubt about it, because 25 years ago or 30 years ago, we have people from our community and people from this area who used to go out to Chicago to listen to the lies that the people were telling on Savior's Day concerning Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But today, alhamdulillah, the people are going to hear the message of Al-Islam. With that being the case, insha'Allah ta'ala, it's been requested that we give a special dars today or a special khutbah to those people who are going to participate in that trip with our brothers from the IDS. Those people who their mothers and fathers are struggling to pay the bills for their tuition at the school. In spite of that, the mothers and fathers have put their monies together in order to have their children to travel to the earth to meet up with those people of knowledge in the hopes that the true spirit of Al-Islam will be planted in the hearts of these young brothers. So, with that being the case, we want to give you brothers today, insha'Allah ta'ala, a glimpse into some of the adab or some of the etiquette that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent His Messenger with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teaching the Muslim how to travel. One of the greatest ni'mas of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on us, in that He has made us Muslims, is that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deen al-haq, al-Islam, is a religion that has explained every affair to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the authentic hadith, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُم مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا أَمَرْتُكُم بِهِ وَمَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُم مِنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا نَهِيتُكُم عَنْهِ. There is nothing that will cause you people to come closer to the paradise. There is no thing that will cause you to come closer to the paradise except that I've ordered you to do this. And there is nothing that will cause you to come closer to the hellfire except that I prevented it from you. I made it prohibited and haram upon you. With that being the case, just as you all see the book, the Salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as if you're seeing it from the takbir to the ihram to the time that he says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, we also have this same situation as it relates to his traveling. There are many things that we can discuss today, but because of lack of time, we're going to mention about three or four issues today in the khutbah and finish the rest tonight after the class, during the class after Salat al-Isha. The first thing that the Muslim needs to understand, or one of the most important issues that you need to take care of, Ya Abdullah, as you embark upon this trip, or any other trip is that the Muslim in al-Islam is required by law to take with him his provisions, and not to take with him the Sufi non-Islamic mentality of going dependent upon Allah without tying your camera. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 198, Al-Hajju ashhuru ma'lumat. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجْ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ وَاتَّذَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادَ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala said, the month of Hajj are well known. The month of Hajj, this trip that every Muslim has to take, the month of Hajj is well known. So therefore, whoever wants to make this Hajj, do not let him have any sexual relationship, nor do not let him make any sins, nor do not let him argue and dispute with that which is wrong. And whatever good that you do, Allah knows best. So take your provision. But the best provision is the provision of taqwa. So fear me, O you people who have sinned. There were a group of Sahaba from Yemen who made Hajj, leaving Yemen, going to Mecca. When they left Yemen, they left all of their property and they went without any money or any food. When they came to the people of Mecca, they said to the people of Mecca, will you people not support us? Will you people not take care of us? They said to them, where's your own food? They said, we left all of our provisions in Yemen with our families and we're making tawakkul on Allah. We're depending upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala revealed this ayat informing the people that you have to take your provisions in any trip. And the best provision is the provision of a taqwa. For that reason, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one of the best known of the companions, there were many people who used to want to travel with him to be his companion in the trip. He used to investigate and make sure that whoever traveled with him, he had his own provision. And this ayat helps us understand an extremely important issue as it relates to us. And that is, we see people calling us to make a kharuj for 40 days. We see people calling us to go out for 40 days in the path of Allah. And some of us, we go to Pakistan and we go to Bangladesh. And we leave our families without any provision. And we say to our families that you have to have tawakkul ala Allah, or I'm making tawakkul ala Allah. This is a concept that's foreign to Islam. This is a concept that was introduced into the religion of Islam and the Quran and the Sunnah rejected. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us in another authentic hadith when he said, in telling us the severity and the danger of the person who does this, he said, kafa bil ism, kafa bil mar'i isman, and yahbisa amman yamlik qutuhu. It is enough as a sin for a man or a person to hold back that which he should be given to those who should be given. It is a tremendous crime in Islam that you do not provide for your children when you travel, that you do not provide for your children after the divorce in their mothers. This is a great crime in Islam. So with that being the case, ikhwan, the Muslim needs to understand that the provisions has to be taken and he cannot depend upon other people. He has to take enough for himself in order to take care of himself and not to be a burden on the other people. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also taught the Muslims the danger of the Muslim traveling by himself. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith that's been collected by al-Bukhari, he said on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, لو أن الناس يعلمون من الوحدة ما أعلم ما صار راكب بالليل وحده أبدا. If the people only knew, if the people only knew the danger of a man traveling by himself, the traveler would never travel by himself at night. In another hadith, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الراكب شيطان وراكبان شيطانان والثلاث رقب. One traveler is a shaitan, and two travelers is two shaitan, and three people traveling together That's the group. That's the jama'ah. That's the way you should travel. Three people or more. We understand from this hadith, ikhwan, that this is one of the many hadiths to show us that Islam is a religion that does not allow you, it does not afford you the comfort of practicing Islam in the privacy of your own home. Islam is a deen of socializing. We see that the people who are tired of the many fitnas that take place within our community, fitna is part of the dynamics of the human experience. We find them running away and divorcing themselves from the jama'ah, and they say it's too much fitna being with them. And they use ayat and hadith that tell about the times of fitna when you should make the uzla, when you should run away from the people, make seclusion. But we say to those people, do you seclude yourselves from the Muslims and you go with the kuffar and you call that seclusion? Islam is a deen of mutual cooperation, a deen that has shown us the importance of being together. In another hadith towards these lines, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us that whenever the people are going on a trip, and this is extremely important as it relates to the people of IDS, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered us in the authentic hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, he said, إِذَا خَرَجَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي السَّفَرِ فَلْيُؤَمِّنُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. If three people leave and they go on a trip, then they have to pick an emir from amongst them. If three people leave and they go on a trip, then they have to pick an emir from amongst them. This ayat or this hadith needs some time here, because we find that the imam of many of the communities, they are playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're taking liberties with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they read the ayat and the hadith that mention the issue of the emir. So the regular imam who prays with the people, he calls himself the emir. The emir is an Islamic term, just like al-fasiq and al-mu'min and al-zalim and al-mustaqi. It is not for you to use it the way you want to use it. The man of the masjid is not an emir, he's the imam. They take these ayat and these hadith that mention the issue of the bay'ah, and they start to apply those bay'ah to themselves, to the point that we've heard with our own ears how some of these imams, when a brother goes to their masjid in order to marry one of the sisters from their masjid, he says to them, in order to marry this sister, you have to give me the bay'ah. And if you break the bay'ah, you're automatically divorced from the girl. This is taking liberties with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us, when three people leave for the journey, they shall make an emir. So in the trip, when the Muslims leave together, it is Islamic for them to call the leader an emir. He is the emir, and his position is extremely important. To call the leader, salatu wassalam, has told us in another authentic hadith, Abu Ibrahim al-Bukhari al-Muslim, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ أَطَانِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ أَطَاعَ الْأَمِيرِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ الْأَمِيرِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeys me, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he has obeyed the Amir. And whoever obeys the Prophet, he has obeyed Allah. And whoever disobeys the Prophet, he has disobeyed Allah. And whoever obeys the Amir, he has obeyed Allah. And whoever disobeys the Amir, he has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say to our young brothers that we have chosen for you an Amir in our brother Daru Hassan. And it is absolutely wajib, obligatory on you in the religion of Allah, that you obey this brother, and that you give him your undivided attention, because we'll see brothers and sisters in other times. If you can imagine for a minute, if we decided to leave on this trip, the IDS trip, in the middle of the trip we have 10 people from amongst the group who say, well, this is the point of parting between us and you. We're getting off because we don't agree with the Amir.
So those 10 people get off the bus and they rent another bus and they do their own thing. After the bus goes through 3 more states, 10 more people get off the bus because they don't like the opinion of the emir. They don't like the way the emir is running the show. So those next 10 people get off the bus and they run their own program. And the bus is left with 20 people. Do you see the confusion that was set in if Islam was not a deen that came to organize the people? Likewise, on a larger scale, we relate that incident to our masjid. The masjid has set a course, and we have embarked upon this course in order, inshaAllah ta'ala, to please Allah. And because perfection is only for Allah ta'ala, there are going to be shortcomings. There are going to be mistakes. Human beings make mistakes. So every time one of you sees a mistake from the imam or from the administration, do you now take it upon yourself to run out into the streets of Essex County and to start making ghibah and lying and being oppressive? Every time we see something that we dislike, do we run off and we set up another group, another jama'ah? And then when you're identified as being people who are breaking off from the jama'ah, lessening the power of the Muslims and the resources of the Muslims, you can't understand why. Organization is extremely important in al-Islam, and we say to these brothers that you have to obey this emir. After that, ikhwan, we come to another important issue, and that is that the person who's going to travel in the earth, the brothers who are going to Chicago, you have to realize that you have been ordered to do those deeds which are righteous. And it only makes sense that you do those deeds which are righteous. You are about to leave your family, and when you leave your family, there's going to be no one responsible for them in your absence. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ السَّفَرْ قِتَعَةٌ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ يمنع أحدكم نومه وطعامه وشرابه فإذا قضى أحدكم نهمته من وجهه فليعجل إلى أهله. Verily, traveling is a piece of punishment. Traveling is a part of punishment. One of you is prevented from his sleep, from his food, from his drink. So therefore, if you complete what you went to do, hurry up and come back to your family. This hadith shows us that traveling in and of itself is a fitna. It's difficult. But as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we were to hang on to the Quran and the Sunnah, wallahi, in all our affairs, even this issue of traveling would become easier for us if we were to follow the Sunnah. And from the Sunnah is that we understand the importance of doing righteous deeds when we go out fi sabilillah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in showing us this point, whenever he wanted to travel, he would get on his riding beast and he would make a series of dua. From the supplication that he would make, he would say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa wa min al-amali ma tarda. Allahumma hawwin alayna safarina hadha waqwi anna bu'dahu. اللهم أنت صاحب في السفر والخليفة في الأهل. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكآبة المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والأهل. From this series of dua that he would say, because he was always connected to رب العالمين, whether he was stationary or traveling, sick or well, in jihad, in times of peace, oh Allah, verily we ask from you in this trip of ours, al-birr wa taqwa, to give us birr, good deeds, and a taqwa, righteousness, and to do the deeds that are good, that you love, that you like. Oh Allah, make shorten for us the trip. Make it short for us, and make it easy for us. And we seek refuge in you from those things that are difficult, and from having our affairs turned around, and from coming back finding our monies and our families put in a bad situation. So therefore you, Abdullah, as you go out to Chicago, realize and understand that you are about to take part in a very important aspect of ibadah. Allah Ta'ala urged you in the Quran when he says, سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين. Travel through the earth and look at the example of what we did to the people who lied. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Quran, سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم. We are going to show them our signs in the horizons as well as within themselves. So when the Muslim begins to travel, he realizes that we're about to go to Chicago not as a vacation, but in order to get knowledge, to meet those people of knowledge who Allah ordered us in the Quran to ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. And the Prophet said, in talking to you in this trip, من سلك مسلكا يلتمس في علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. If this is your niyyah, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever goes out in search of knowledge, whoever goes out in search of knowledge, Allah will make easy for him the path to paradise. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَضَعَ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رَضًا لِمَا يَسْنَعَ. And verily the angels will put their wings down in humility to the student of knowledge because they're proud and happy of what they're doing. This would apply to you if you went out there to get the knowledge with the proper niyyah. So as you ride, ikhwan, on the wings of the angels in your trip, look at the earth and realize that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has changed the seasons without anyone's help. That Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as you travel and you see that there are no leaves on the trees, that a few months ago the weather was warm and there were leaves on the tree. This is an indication for the one who's looking at the ayat of Allah that you as well are changing in your creation. And you as well are coming closer to the time that you're going to have to stand before Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. When the Muslim goes up the hill, the Prophet used to say, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahu Akbar. And when he came down and descended, he used to say, Subhanallah. And you likewise, akhi, as you go out to this trip, keep that in mind. Keep in mind the hadith of the angels who came to the man who went out to visit his brother in another city. And the angel said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to visit my brother in another city. He said, do you owe him some money or he owes you some money? He said, no. Did you want something from him or he wants something from you? He said, no. I'm only going to meet him for the sake of Allah. The angel said to him, then know for a surety Allah tabarak wa ta'ala loves you for loving that brother for Allah's sake. So now we have an opportunity, alhamdulillah, to go out to meet the international Islamic community being represented there in Chicago. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد. After this, ikhwan, we encourage the brothers who are going to take this trip to remember that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم has told us in another authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhima. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثلاث دعوات مستجابات لا شك فيهن دعوة المظلوم ودعوة المسافر ودعوة الوالد على ولده. There are three du'as or supplications that are accepted, and there's no doubt about that. Those three du'as, the three people who make this du'a, are the people who the Prophet described as being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, the one who was oppressed. The sister who was being oppressed by her husband, her du'a, her supplication is answered. The sister who is not being taken care of, or she's being physically abused or neglected, her dua is going to be accepted. So why do you oppress yourself? The second person the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was the person who supplicates while he's traveling. And the dua, the supplication of the father for his child. So we see here now that it is highly recommended for the person who was traveling that he makes dua. When you leave your family, you realize that if something was to happen in your absence, it would be extremely difficult for you to do anything about it. You yourself are being prevented from your food and your drink and your sleep. If something was to happen to you out there, it would be difficult for you to turn to your resources to correct the problem. Whereas if a problem happened in your place of residence, you know who to call, you know what to do. So while the person is in Allah's earth traveling, he should make some supplication to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for his family. Those young brothers from the IDF, who wallahi, we have to be honest, we know that there's a lot of good in those young boys. But at the same time, they are falling extremely short of the mark of what we expect. These young boys who are listening right now downstairs, most of them, if not all of them, contribute nothing to the maintenance of their family. They do not give one single red cent, but instead, their parents are spending upon them, struggling to pay for their tuition, working one and two jobs, and sometimes three jobs. The mother who should be in the home, in the comfort of her own home, has to go to the school in order to work off some of the tuition fees. And that 17 or 15 or 14 year old boy who doesn't contribute anything is a knucklehead. His mother and father are paying money for him to go to Umrah, to go to Chicago, and he's not thankful. We say to those young brothers from IDS that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, "Man lam yashkur an-nas, lam yashkur Allah." Whoever has not thanked the people, he has not thanked Allah. So as your brother in Islam, I advise you insha'Allah ta'ala to take this trip as an opportunity to give back to your parents what they've given to you. The struggle and the dedication that they have for you, you should give it back to them by making some dua for them while you're in this trip. Don't fail to realize that this trip is a trip of ibadah, worship. So take the time out to make this supplication to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala that He makes things easy for them. And that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala writes for them a tawfiq, the success. And lastly but not least, we advise all of you brothers who are going to participate in this trip to realize that when you go out there, you are going to be representing the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey. That Islamic center that the people have heard about in Medina and Mecca. Wallahi, they heard of, there's not a continent except that they heard about this. And that is not exaggeration. Wallahi, that's the truth. It's this Islamic Dawah Center that there were three people who were invited. No other group can say that. That does not return to us or to you. That's the favor of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala upon us. And perfection is only for Allah Ta'ala. So when you go out there, Ya Abdullah, my brother from the IDS, when you go out there, people are looking at your behavior. And this is why we used to hear or read about the Sahaba saying to each other, "Will you do such and such a thing, and you're a companion of the Prophet, and the people are looking at you?" The people are looking at you. So we say to you, try your best to be on your best behavior and to implement those lessons that you've been learning about. It makes no sense to learn about Al-Islam and not to practice it. We ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala by His greatest name. That name, if His servant calls Him on by it, He will answer the dua. We ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to give us the good in this life and in the next life, and to make us of those who are truthful in word and deed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put into our lives the love of the Quran and the Sunnah, and to make us from His awliya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fitna of a Dajjal, and from the fitna of life and death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fitna of the grave. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask You to make things right between us and our mates, and us and our children, and us and the kuffar. Give us the power and make them know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sadad and the tawfiq.